lass on Radio 4 who's sort of Charlotte Gray. She's got nothing on me.
Do you look into their eyes, Ian, or is that too personal a question? You don't want to go into this.
What would you be shouting at a television screen, Ian Lennox?
I can't proofread that.
But there is a slight suggestion that next season might be better. So
Let's hope so.
No one seems to get a penalty for pulling shirts nowadays, or hardly ever.
Or Seven Simple Seasons.
Yes, like it.
Fly Me to the Moon, the audio podcast companion with Rob Nichols.
Quite right, too. Rob Nichols, welcome to your own programme, Fly Me to the Moon, the podcast companion for issue 586. Possibly, well, the last paper podcast, or paper fanzine,
paper
of the
fanzine
season,
of the season, yes.
Exactly, but possibly not the last podcast. And because it's a very special end, the 30th season of Fly Me to the Moon, we have an extra special guest who actually about 45 minutes ago, because of a series of challenges I was having, actually seven consecutive ones in all, mobile devices, phones, etc. When it says SIM card not functioning, it's so annoying. Actually, it necessitated using a whole variety of things, but we can say we managed to connect with the awesome BBC Humberside Drive Time presenter extraordinaire. It's Andy Comfort. How are you, Andy?
I'm very well, thanks. Good morning.
Good, and good to hear your dulcet tones. I was beginning to think, he's going to think we've let him down. Yeah. Up there. Anyway, even to the extent of getting our engineer, our other Andy, to actually text or email Andy to sort of say, it's all very confusing. Yeah. Almost as confusing as the season has actually been, because who would have thought that Gary Monk would no longer be with us?
Yeah.
That, who knows, he went to Birmingham and so on. Who would have thought that Mick McCarthy would have actually left Ipswich Town? And a whole stack of others. Obviously, it's borough-based from this point of view, but Andy, we'll nail your colours to the mast straight away. One of the reasons you're actually with us today is, of course, you're an Ipswich Town fan.
I am, yes. Long-suffering.
Well, that's the reason why when I suggested via email a week or so back that Alan Pardew was available, the response was, no!
Don't upset me.
Yeah, it's, mind you, you've got Arsene Wenger now. I mean, he could be a possibility.
Well, you have to wonder why he left, you know. about the timing was mine. Oh, no, the timing wasn't mine. But, you know, he's obviously thought, Paul Monroe job's come up. I've been eyeing that for a while. He could do worse. The favourites for a while were the Cowley brothers of Lincoln, but they've just signed a new contract at Lincoln, so they're off the list now. So we shall see.
Yeah, exactly. I mean, I'm sure there'll be somebody wonderful who will emerge and do all sorts of other bits and pieces. However, Andy, before we find, Rob's sort of views on the whole thing. Middlesbrough Football Club. I mean, clearly, you were at the Riverside. You sorted the way through. Did you expect them to be winning the league? Did you think, in the words of Steve Gibson, they might have smashed the league? Are you surprised with where they're going? Any thoughts?
No, I would have thought, at the beginning of the season, and it's easy for me to say that now, isn't it, but I would have put Middlesbrough in the top six. I just think, it's a funny division of the Championship this season. I've got the table in front of me now looking at it. You know, I mean, in all honesty, who would have thought Sunderland would get relegated? I actually thought Sunderland would be out of trouble. I didn't think they would be that, in bother. You've got Middlesbrough where I'd expect them to be, Cardiff, Derby, these sort of teams where I expect them to be. So there were a few surprises in there, if I'm honest, but I would have thought some of the teams further down will be higher up, will be doing better, but there you go. But yeah, look, good. Did you not think it's a good season for Middlesbrough?
Well, we hoped we'd be automatic promotion, so, and obviously we've had two managers, so we made a very bad start. We've struggled to put runs together. We've sort of flattered to deceive a lot of the time, but we're there at the end. Yeah. And if we can win against Millwall tomorrow, then we take it all to Portman Road in the last match. Hopefully, we only need to draw Portman Road. So it's what you want as a football fan, really. That you've got like a climax to the season, and there's something to play for.
And that's clearly the reason, another reason why you're actually with us, Andy, because, of course, that is the final match of the season against Ipswich, where, you know, you can more or less guarantee teams that have nothing to play for. You know, you've got to let your team know, Andy. They shouldn't necessarily, sort of score four against Borough or something, you know?
Well, I kind of think that's unlikely. I mean, we haven't won since Mick McCarthy left, and I have a lot of time for Brian Klug, who's doing a caretaker job at the minute, our academy boss, but we've lost the last two, and you know, it's all about next season for us now, isn't it? It's about looking to next season and starting to build a team. But equally, you know, we're giving youngsters a chance who might want to go out there and prove themselves on that final Sunday of the season next weekend, you know. So who knows? I mean, clearly we'd like to go out with a win at Portman Road to finish the season off. The season's done and dusted. All we have to play for now is that team just above us on 57 points, Norwich City, and to try and finish above them, really. So, you know, yeah, we'd obviously like a win on the last game of the season, but so I hope we don't spoil your party too much.
Now, allowing for the role of the fanzine, etc., I mean, I actually emailed you some of the preview pages of this current edition, Andy. Did you manage to have a chance to cast your eye over it?
I've not read all, but I've had a look, yes. So
okay. Well, I mean, I think it's fair to say, Rob, you know, guests privilege. They can actually select any particular article they want to go to and say, oh, I want to talk about that, basically. So, I mean, from the sort of half you've got, we've obviously got Thomas Bartley's line on Smash the League. Thomas, of course, has sort of done, I mean, he started off writing for the fanzine when he was 8 years
old. He did, yes, absolutely. Master he was then, Master Thomas Bartley.
He was, yeah. He's now moved up to, is he 14 now, is he, or is he 15?
Yeah, he just went to, with his school to visit Oxford this week, actually Oxford University yesterday, so he's retired today, so, yeah.
I've often said that Oxford needs to be civilised by folk from Middlesbrough on a regular basis.
Well, his brother went to Cambridge.
Exactly. sort those two things on there. Were there any areas that effectively captured your eye, though, Andy, in terms of, oh, yes, what about that piece of poetry from Kadeem Hussein, for instance?
Well, I'm looking, I've got it in front of me now, I'm just looking at, what have I got here? Oh, have I got Wilton Walters Armchair?
Yes.
Oh, yes.
Yeah. Well, I mean,
old school.
In so many ways, I think...
I love the picture.
Capturing the spirit of the Bobby Robson era, in many ways.
Yes, very much. Well, yes, good old days of football, you know. The days when we used to win games, some of those. But please don't leave it to the last game with the Tractor Boys, Borough. No. Yeah. Mm-hmm. I mean, that's the danger, isn't it? You just nothing to play for. You don't know what you're up against.
I think we've eyed up that game from very early on because, of course, Ipswich were doing a really good deal where they were trying to do reciprocal ticket deals with other clubs.
Yeah, yeah.
So we approached our chairman near the start of the season, really, and said, look, this is the last game of the season. There's two things here. That everything could be riding on this. One, and two, it's a long way to go. And it's kind of like a reward for the end of the season, but the our football club wouldn't do the deal. So, unfortunately, the Borough fans will be paying a lot more than they would be. They pay 5 to 10 quid more than they would have been if we could have done a deal between the clubs, which is, it's a real shame.
Yeah, it is a shame. No, it's a good idea, that, isn't it?
Very good idea.
Yeah. And if only all clubs would do it, absolutely right. And I mean, you see falling attendances. I mean, the attendance is at Portman Road now, you know, for a ground that can hold 30,000, and we're struggling to get 13,000, 14,000. I mean,
really?
It used to be plus 15,000. I mean, we've had some of the lowest attendances, I think, for a decade plus this season, when we're down to 13,000 and a few.
Mm.
So that's a shame to see. I think that's an indication of the malaise amongst the fans, that the football's just got a bit boring. But also, you know, it's a lot of money, isn't it? It is a lot of money.
It is. That was the one good thing for me. Well, no, not the one good thing, but as a travelling fan, when the Premier League brought in that rule that £30, it's £30 is still a lot of money, but compared to the prices that people were charging you, Chelsea was well above 50 quid the last time we were in the Premier League for away fans, so at least you knew where you were at the start of the season. And then there were other deals, I think, with Southampton sponsors, Virgin were paying £10 to take it down to £20. That sort of thing made it a little bit more affordable. And Middlesbrough are a club with very, we have a lot of people go to away matches. We usually sell out our allocation, and that means that people are travelling a long way from Middlesbrough for all the games, like they would be from Ipswich. But
yeah,
you're right. Championship prices are pretty high, and I guess it reflects the fact that the Championship just does not get the money coming into it that the Premier League does. It's a real struggle for clubs to break even, and a struggle for fans to afford.
No, you're right, but I mean, you go some places and they just seem to get it right, don't they? I mean, last season when Huddersfield were in the Championship, and I went, there was somebody, you know, I paid very little, you know, and they just seem to really respect their fans there. They've got a nice setup, haven't they? And got promoted, which was great for them. And
local owner.
Yeah, exactly. And then you go down the road, and I refuse to go to Elland Road just because of the prices, you know.
Oh, yeah.
£35, and then they stick a fiver on the gate. So if you're going to pay on the turnstile,
yes,
£40, you know, no way, not championship football.
Those Italians, they have a way of actually extorting money on the most interesting things. But talking about money, Mike Kelly, of course, from Northern Alliance, does an interesting comparison between the finances of Middlesbrough's income exceeding £121 million during its last season in the Premier League, and, of course, the wonders of Millwall, who effectively have net liabilities of £57 million. And so again, unlike Middlesbrough, Millwall are used to getting by on modest amounts of income. If the league were ranked by revenues, Millwall will be scrapping it out with Burton to avoid relegation.
Wow.
And of course they're in a struggle with their, as he points out, Mike, with their council for the new den. They could actually be evicted from their ground.
Which is quite interesting. I did like the line from the owner of Millwall, John G. Burleson, former U.S. Marine. Maybe that's what Ipswich needs. Get in a U.S. Marine. You know,
we can't get anyone interested. That's the problem. You know, it's because we're in the middle of nowhere. I think so. That bit that sticks out. You know, and we just can't seem to get people interested.
Mm.
Well, I mean, of course, Ellis Short might have some time on his hands if he fancies doing things after he sees...
From Sunderland, yeah. That's obviously been a problem for the Championship, in that a lot of people, a lot of foreign money has come in as a way of buying a club to get in the Premier League, and then when they realise it's not quite as easy as that, then the problems start to happen.
In the words of John G. Burleson himself, he kept an eye on English football. Some partners of mine wanted me to buy Leeds. I said, I have to fly into London and then drive 3 hours. It's not going to happen, is it?
And the other Leeds Bradford.
Yeah, well, there you go. Yeah,
just go back to your fanzine. I say you call the plastic Geordies. I'm taking that. I'm guessing that's on London.
Yeah.
I've never heard that one before. In these parts.
I don't know. What do you call people from Norwich?
Well,
is it broadcastable? Exactly. You're just going to hold fire on that, because let's face it, you can mispronounce the Norwich manager's name in a very unfortunate way. So you have to be very careful. Yeah, exactly, it's a different manner. Also, I mean, I have to be said, I was pleased that Matt Smith alerted us to the notion of the Garys and the lines of that, because the line that basically so many Garys were actually there in the days where you had Vince, Ray, Clive, Trevor, and so on, but it was the good old Garys that effectively was very much part of the whole football.
We had five Garys on the pitch in one game, and now, as we know, Gary is a name that's supposed to be going to become extinct.
Is it?
Did you consider naming a child Gary at all?
Well, I mean, we don't know what the royal baby is.
No, that could change everything.
It could, you know, Prince Gary.
Prince Gary sounds great.
Something's going to rescue Gary if that happens. Yeah. Never mind Albert. Let's go Gary.
Yeah.
I heard Arthur was actually still being touted as a possibility.
Have you seen this? There's an IT error, and a website has appeared under the royal domain of /PrinceAlbert, which I think has now been taken down, but somebody spotted it, so that may have been an unfortunate leak, or maybe a decoy. Maybe it is going to be Prince Gary after all.
It's very true.
Yeah.
Astounding. I mean, clearly, Rob, if you weren't the quizmaster for the Fly Me to the Moon Big Borough themed quiz /raffle/ pie and pea supper, it's always been back in the northeast.
It's good value, isn't it? £5.50 per head includes pie and peas.
Yep, indeed.
Wonderful.
Exactly. So, I mean, Andy will be a celebrity guest from that point of view, but he's in the newsroom of BBC.
Right.
Andy, what is your prediction then? We'll go for two predictions, I think. We'll go for Borough versus Millwall, and then, of course, the Ipswich Borough game.
Okay. I think you will beat Millwall. I think you'll beat Millwall, which will take the pressure off you coming to Portman Road. So I will go... I'll go 2-1 win for Borough against Millwall.
Could you take that, Rob?
I definitely would. Yeah, absolutely.
Okay. Tight game, but I think you'll beat them.
Yeah, I'm hoping that the fact that they had a fantastic long unbeaten run, which came to an end when they were hammered in the second half. Yeah, dramatically with Fulham last week. So hoping we can continue their discomfort. We're just on the back of two victories. We beat Bristol City at home, which was the first time we'd beaten anybody really in and around us. And then we went to Derby Derby, who were up until Tuesday night when they beat Cardiff, looked as if they were falling off the edge of a cliff, which they do every season. We need to take that form into this game against Millwall, and yeah, I would settle for 2-1, although my nerves would, I prefer 2-0, to be perfectly honest.
And I do think, I think last game of the season on the Sunday, we've nothing to play for at the minute, but there is pride to play for. But I just don't, I can see you beating us on the last game of the season. So I will go a 1-0 to Middlesbrough on the last game of the season at Portman Road, which is a shame because I'd like to see us go on a high at Portman Road, but I think you may be too strong for us.
Well, yeah, I think it depends. It probably depends for us on what we've got to play for, but you've always got to play for fifth or sixth, and that could be quite...
Yeah, it
does make a difference, and sometimes it's best to finish sixth because the team that finishes third could be absolutely gutted on the last day. You see what I mean?
Yeah.
Especially if it was Fulham. I wouldn't fancy playing Fulham at the moment. But I think it's possible that it could be a draw the last game, actually. Obviously, it all changes round if Borough fail to beat Millwall. Then it becomes a completely different game.
Suddenly pressure's on, that would be interesting, wouldn't it?
But, yeah.
You don't want that.
Not really.
No. Well, I hope for your sake you beat Millwall. I think you will, but it'll be a good game.
See, clearly, as a Man City follower, I can just relax and take it easier than
Millwall.
It's 2,000 passes, I think, we actually managed to put together in the last game against Swansea City, which is another Premiership record, so that's not bad.
Against the former pass masters themselves, Swansea City.
Exactly. So I think satisfactory, you know, a couple of trophies.
How about when you were watching the Champions League this week, Alex?
Yes, okay.
At Anfield, sorry.
Edin Dzeko tried to restore some sort of line.
Right, yeah.
Remembering his things from that point of view, we don't talk about that other sort of side from Manchester.
When you come to Portman Road, you can join in the celebrations of what we're calling 78 Day on the final game of the season, as we remember 40 years, almost to the day, since Ipswich won the FA Cup.
Oh, really?
Roger Osborne scoring, if I recall.
So loads going on. I mean, Borough fans want to come down and, you know, I know the fan zone's open from 9, there's loads of things going on, so I'm sure there'll be stuff happening, but it's 78 days. Some of the old Ipswich Town team I think Roger Osborne's going to be there, actually, and George Burley will be there, I know that. Kevin Beattie,
Kevin Beattie played for Middlesbrough as well.
Yeah, that's right. He's always there. He's always at Portman Road for the home games, so they'll all be there. So plenty going on, 78 day on Sunday the 6th of May. Enjoy the party.
Well,
right.
Presumably 78 music as well. You can,
yeah.
Andy, that Rob has just, after a gap of how many years since your first album?
29
years. Finally, Shrug have been back in and have released a new album from that point of view. It's going to be interconnected perfectly, really.
Well, and funnily enough, my rewind year today, I did two rewind years on the show, and my rewind year on BBC Radio Humberside, the first one this afternoon, is 1978. How
brilliant. Oh.
So I'm looking down the list now, Staying Alive. I love the sound of Breaking Glass, Fantasy. Never Let Us Slip Away, there you go.
These are classics. If ever there was a reason for people to actually say, now forget BBC Tees, I'm going to tune into BBC Humberside, that's going to be it, really. Sorry, Rob, it's a way forward from that sort of perspective, but it works through that process. Andy, it's been fabulous touching base with yourself today.
Really enjoyed it. Thank you.
We'll be talking in the second part of the programme about the astonishingly wonderful Yaffa Phillips. We'll be wishing all the very best to
Sam and Bolton.
Indeed.
Yeah.
And we'll talk about Philip Meadows and art and various other bits and pieces. But Andy, we salute you. We won't ask him to say come on Borough and up the Borough, because he...
No.
I will do for tomorrow, up the Borough, come on.
Well,
that's very decent.
I'd rather have you than Millwall.
There you go.
In today's crowded world, it's sometimes hard to get heard. And sometimes you need a little extra push to be heard. That's where Manila PR can help. We specialise in online radio and press for independent bands, with prices to match, and have been doing so for the last decade. So if you have a noise to make, make it with Manila. Visit manilapr.com now.
500 These drugs affect 130,000 people in England and Wales each year. Here's a recipe that can dramatically decrease your chances of strokes.
Excellent. I better get a pen.
167 grams of calcium.
Hang on. Slow down. One tablespoon.
Remember, any more than one tablespoon could kill you. Any less than one tablespoon could kill you.
Right, what was
the recipe? That's the recipe.
If you
would like a more simple solution, you can always call Pharma Nord on 01670 519989.
All right.
Or visit the website pharmanord.co.uk.
Let me see if I can jot that down. What was the number again?
01670 519989. Or visit the website pharmanord.co.uk.
And how do you spell Pharma Nord, I wonder?
pharmanord.co.uk.
It's almost as if I'm having a conversation with the radio.
Don't be silly, that's impossible.
Pharma Nord, winning the war of nutrition.
You're listening to a Southside Broadcasting podcast. Southside Broadcasting is a media company which aims to provide a wide range of features from the rural, health and lifestyle worlds. You can regularly listen to entertaining podcasts with interviews and correspondents from Los Angeles, Nashville, New York and London. You can take part in our Book of the Month features, grab some great nutritional advice, enjoy broadcasts from the Great Yorkshire Show, the Lincolnshire Show, and enjoy local football reviews with our regular feature, Fly Me to the Moon. You can even hear a BAFTA award-winning director drive a train full of teddy bears. You can listen to these and many more podcasts at southsidebroadcasting.podbean.com. For further information on how you can join over 35,000 people who regularly download our podcasts, call us on 01642 854 742 or email info@southsidebroadcasting.com now.
Hi, this is Bernie Slaven and you're listening to Rob Nichols on Fly Me to the Moon.
Thank you, Bernie.
Yes, and thanks to Andy for working through that. So let's talk Yaffa Phillips, because is an American. We've talked about Americans before. She's been a massive supporter of the whole
Love Middlesbrough.
So on,
yeah,
exactly. So great stuff there. She's having a bit of a challenge, really, at present.
Yeah, very sad that she's fighting cancer in hospital. Many people will know, because she often wanders around Middlesbrough in a silly hat. So Alex, I brought us both a hat in today, so
right,
we can put a hat in for her. And she actually got Middlesbrough, the football club, she's an expert on social media. As I say, she came from New York, and she was the first person to get Middlesbrough really latched down on social media, and she taught loads of us lots of lessons. Through Love Middlesbrough and the football club going in social media, it allowed the club and the town to reach out to people right around the globe.
Fly Me to the Moon, the podcast does.
Well, yes, absolutely. We're following her work in a way. But her enthusiasm and energy and the fact that she had her expert skills, so many of us got so much to thank her for. So we want to join her in her fight. And she wanted everyone to dress down today and wear silly hats and stuff. So we'll do that, won't we, Alex?
We will indeed. You can take a photograph to prove that we should be wearing this, and we'll do sort of we won't do selfies because that might be just too crass, really. I know it's, but we will take photographs of each other, which we will put online and sort of ensure that goes through that. And also Simon Bolton having again another challenge from that perspective.
Yeah, now Simon, a lot of people will remember Simon from a few years ago when he was secretary of the Borough Supporters Club. He was often the person that was turned to for his opinion on things in the press and on TV, and that would be the time where we're talking about Brian Robson and all the cup finals. Simon's gone on to be a presenter on Zetland FM, but more recently he's had a lot of problems with his leg in hospital, and he's facing up some challenges to do with his leg, and just everybody wants to sort of say, we're behind you, Simon, and and good luck for the future. And let's see you back at the Riverside next season, and hopefully let's see you back as a in a Premier League.
We mentioned earlier there was some poetry in the... In fact, there are two slides.
Oh, that's right.
You've gone poetry crazy for the final sort of sequence. We have, obviously, The Five Tenors by Jim Flynn. But then... Kadeem has emerged once again with that, and I'm thinking the best way to do this brackets two word poem close brackets is if actually we take one line each, and I think that should work quite nicely of page 25.
Right, thank you for saying that. I couldn't remember
exactly page 25 from that sort of line. So we'll take one line each, and would you like to commence, Rob?
Going home.
Rams rounded.
And penned.
Next it's...
The Lions.
But in...
Rory's den...
Points will...
Be bagged.
In playoffs.
Who's next?
We are...
Going home.
The Premiership. Sorted. I trust Kadeem would be duly impressed with respect to that. I was thinking about maybe doing a three-way with Andy, but I thought we'd already sort of... worked in two, you know, I mean, getting him to say, come on, Borough, and up the Borough. You know,
yeah. It was two word rather than three words.
Exactly.
And I think it's good that you've pointed out the poetry, because at the moment we're in a, we embarked on Wednesday in an international poetry festival on Teesside called Tea Junction. So this is just our sort of contribution.
From that point of view. We've got Gavin Blackwell's Tony Pulis Borough and the FA coaching scheme.
Yeah. Gavin's a physio for Hensford Town, actually. He's a West Brom fan, but he's disappointed that coaching in our country anyway, that the coaches aren't coming to the fore anymore. Of course, so many clubs are turning to foreign coaches, as we did with Aitor Karanka. And he points out that, I think it's a little known fact really, that people talk about Tony Pulis being old school. And by old school, do they mean the fact that he got his coaching badges when he was in his very early 20s? He's one of the youngest ever to become a coach. And he went in the summer, he spent his summers, but he was playing as a football, he spent his summers going to Lillisall and becoming a coach. So
makes perfect sense.
Yep.
Exactly. Interesting, Stan's line. I do struggle to remember any team stumbling their way into the Premier League. I think Huddersfield did it last season.
Well, that's right. That's absolutely right.
Just a minor point,
yeah, so. And they didn't. Am I right in saying that they didn't actually score a goal in the playoffs?
No, exactly.
It's an own goal and penalties.
Exactly. Yeah.
So, and they've made a very good fight of it in the Premier League, haven't they?
Yeah. All the great stuff. We haven't really had awards for, they're online, the player awards and Fly Me to the Moon. I suspect that Traore will be one of the key sort of leaders.
Well, he's been absolutely outstanding. For me, he's been the most exciting, in many ways, the most exciting player that we've seen at the Riverside since Juninho.
Really?
Yeah.
I was thinking you might say Ravanelli, but Juninho is...
No, since Juninho, and actually we see opposition players treating him exactly the same way as Juninho, as in trying to kick him off the park. Every single match.
And do you have a favourite contributor for this season, Rob? That's a tough one. I thought I'd just throw that in there because favourite contributor.
Yeah.
I think Thomas Bartley deserves credit from that point of view.
Yes.
We didn't see a sort of final entry in terms of our man with his YouTube channel.
No, he's been very busy doing all his work. He's just had an interview at Sky as well this week.
That would be
Joe
Nicholson.
It is indeed Joe Nicholson.
The words from that point of view. Stan has always been good value from that perspective.
Yes.
As indeed have the rest of the folk. And indeed,
Stan is always writing from... Well, you know, some far-flung country in the world and between operations and things like that.
Exactly. And Matt Smith's line on Gary's, and he's actually working for the plural of Gary being G-A-R-Y-S as opposed to Gary's.
Yeah.
Obviously, I-E-S from that point of view. Oh, briefly, we have to mention Philip Meadows and the Borough.
Yes, yes.
Very important line that continues up until the 26th of May, so you've pretty much got all of May to check out the Heritage Gallery, Cargo Fleet, Middlesbrough Road.
The paintings he does of the Borough, Town and Country, the Ayresome Park paintings are absolutely fabulous. Really, I'd say everybody go and see them. The gallery is open Monday to Friday, 8:30 to 5 p.m. And just absolutely, they really capture the atmosphere, especially the atmosphere of the night match at Ayresome Park and the characters that used to go
as
there.
As I think I've shared with you in times past, Rob, was that again the notion of when black and white television was pretty much standard and no colour television was actually there, actually seeing the pitch in colour, it was vivid. It was an experience.
It's really interesting. I hadn't thought of it until he said it, the fact that I interviewed quite a few people about their first game, and one of the a lot of people said from that era, I couldn't believe how green the pitch was. Was that the same with you?
The first time I saw the greenness of the pitch was actually when I was purchasing tickets for Borough's second game in the first division against Chelsea.
Right.
And I saw a glimpse of the thing. I thought, wow. I thought they'd be playing on grey, obviously.
I'd never put the two things together that it was because we watched football in black and white, yeah. But that's obviously it.
I mean, you could say, well, what pitch did you play on when you were at school? But it wasn't the same.
No, it wasn't
as well kept. No. It wasn't that kind of bright, sparkling green, particularly the start of the season at that stage.
It was a fabulous pitch at Ayresome Park in those days. And then did you remember the smells of the people smoking pipe tobacco?
Bovril, yes.
And Bovril.
Passive smoking, let's step away from that, it's not good at all. But yes, a different line entirely. We wouldn't obviously endorse the notion of getting in by the back of a you distract him and we'll sneak in approach, because that would obviously be not acceptable. But
no, but it was a thing that happened in those days. There used to be little kids waiting around saying, can you get me in? And exactly. You think, oh, how do I do that? But
these days you'd be arrested.
Yeah.
so won't go any further. Okay, this may, as we said, not be the last Limey to the Moon podcast of the season, because should all go according to plan, we'll be back for the playoffs.
Yes, let's not look too far ahead.
Exactly. Yeah. We will inevitably be back as well for our usual biannual challenge. Every 2 years, assuming England get to a tournament, we have our predictor challenge. So it'll be the Moscow predictor challenge that we will have as well for the summer. If people are sort of feeling, how can we live without Fly Me to the Moon? So that will be there as well. And you can, of course, start subscribing for next season, possibly, or start thinking about that.
Somebody already has. They haven't even named the price
there
yet.
There we are, you see. But details for subscriptions will be coming pretty much when the fixture lists are released for the Premiership in June. See what I said.
I like that.
Exactly. Okay. That's it. Thanks to Andy Comfort. Thanks to all the contributors to Fly Me to the Moon for this season. And we've had a good selection of folk who come in. Obviously,
yes.
Thomas Bartley, Jenny Finch, other folk who actually sort of kept the thing going. We're not going to do predictions because I thought I'd leave that with Andy, because that way we don't have to worry about any stresses, etc. You know, Andy's given his things and they were very positive.
They were indeed.
And if you've missed them, well, listen back to the podcast, because that's what it's all about. But we just wrap up with those final few words that we need to say. Seven simple words, a lifetime opportunity. A 1, 2, 3.
Come on, Borough, and up the Borough.
Hey, celebrate and rejoice. It's Rob Nichols and friends on Fly Me to the Moon, the podcast. Not to be confused with Fly Me to the Moon, the song, or The Fragrance for Men.